Will Congress be able to avoid a government shutdown?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the trading day. Coming up, looks like a short-term extension of the federal budget could be on the way, but what happens after that? First, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down right now. The Dow is down 35 points at 12,176. The NASDAQ down about 0.2%. The S&P 500 down about 0.1%. The largest provider of 401k retirement plans says people's accounts hit a 10-year high at the end of last year. Fidelity says the average retirement account balance jumped to $71,500, up about 11% from the year before. Now let's get to the budget negotiations going on in Washington. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he'll bring a bill to the floor of the Senate next week that would keep the government running for a month after the current funding bill expires next Friday. House Speaker John Boehner says he's open to a short-term bill as long as it cuts some spending. As for what happens beyond any short-term extension, well, let's bring in Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. He's with us live now for more on that. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So what happens to the economy if they aren't able to come to an agreement and we get a government shutdown?
Well, that would be bad. It would, of course, affect all the people who wouldn't go to work. It could affect people who rely on government checks. Perhaps most importantly of all, the longer it goes on, it would begin to undermine very fragile confidence. And confidence is key to this economy.
What if there are spending cuts instead and they are able to avoid a shutdown? What would that do to our economic recovery?
Well, it would be a wait near term. The betting is that we'll see cuts somewhere close to $25, $30 billion that would take effect beginning in the second quarter of this year. And that could shave growth by as much as a percentage point. So it would weigh on growth. It wouldn't have longer lasting effects, but near term it would be a negative.
All right. Finally, Mark, what do you think is going to happen here?
I think they're going to come to terms. I think they'll figure out a way to split the difference. The House Republicans want to cut $60 billion from spending in the current fiscal year. I think we'll get $25 or $30 billion, and I think we'll find some happy resolution here. There really is no reason politically why we should see a shutdown. I just don't think either party wants to go down that path.
Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, as the violence continues in Libya, the U.S. State Department is evacuating American citizens. Peter Thomas is a British teacher who's lived in Tripoli for the last 2 years, and he managed to escape yesterday. He joins us now from Ankara, Turkey. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. So first tell us how you got out of Tripoli.
We got out on one of the scheduled Turkish Airlines flights. We took back roads to the airport because Gaddafi's Republican Guard, they're out of uniform and manning checkpoints, and they're not people you want to have long conversations with. The situation at the airport was a lot worse than we had expected. There were between 5,000 and 7,000 people outside the airport, didn't have tickets, were just waiting and hoping to find a way out.
Peter, in each one of the countries that's been in the spotlight for the last few weeks, it seems like in the days leading up to whatever ends up happening, the economy just stops functioning. Give us a sense of what was going on in the last few days. Was anything open?
A lot of the sorts of closed shops, things like that, they all shut down very quickly. But food shops have remained open during the daytime. Petrol stations, they are running out. I was at the airport with a Canadian gentleman who's a Shell geologist, and he said that all the oil sites had been closing up operations, sealing off the wellheads.
Finally, just give us a sense of what people are thinking about the future of the country. Do they think that Gaddafi's about to go?
In Tripoli, people are very unwilling to talk. The strangest experience for me, it's amazing to go through a nine-hour day teaching maybe 50 students and not one of them making a single reference to what was happening on the streets outside.
Peter Thomas, who has just evacuated from Tripoli, he is joining us from Ankara, Turkey. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. By Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. And by reputation.com, protecting online privacy by monitoring and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. Reputation Defender is now reputation.com.
Apple's shareholder meeting is today, and they're expected to discuss a succession plan for the company if CEO Steve Jobs steps down for good. He's been on medical leave since last month. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Shareholders are expected to vote today on a proposal that would demand Apple disclose its succession plan. Steve Jobs won't be specific about why he's on leave, but he's had at least one bout with pancreatic cancer, and there's a frenzy of speculation about his health.
No doubt the tabloid reports and the alleged pictures of him leaving a cancer clinic aren't helping.
Hillary Sale teaches corporate governance at Washington University.
I can't imagine that the board has had its head in the sand, and if it did, it should be in trouble for that.
Having a succession plan is one thing. Making it public is another. Carl Howe of the Yankee Group says that could put Apple at a competitive disadvantage.
Other companies, if they know the line of succession, then, for example, they can try to hire away people that might be in that line of succession.
Sale says the vote is non-binding, but it could send a message to the board. Shareholders want to know where the company is heading. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally to Memphis, Tennessee, where an all-pizza diet turned out to be a lifesaver for 82-year-old Jean Wilson. She orders a large Domino's pepperoni pizza every single day, but for 3 days, Domino's hadn't heard from her. So the delivery person decided to go check on her. Turned out she had fallen and couldn't get to a phone. She was taken to the hospital. She's okay. And that Domino's delivery person's getting an all-expense-paid vacation. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The next time you feel like you're being ripped off, just remember this guy.
When I go park my car in the street and I'm not allowed to park, I pay a bribe. When I go issue my son's birth certificate, I need to pay a bribe. It's me as an average citizen.
I'm Kai Rizdal, trying to change the old Egyptian ways. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.